Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
You, what's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gildo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. This is Jeff Palermo from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. We do not have Glenn Gilbo. He is at the Maravich Center, where LSU is getting ready, or actually has already started, playing South Carolina. Andre Champagne is our producer. We will hear from Glenn, I think, here in the next 15 or so minutes. We'll see how that works. He is covering the game, but Glenn is a Hall of Famer. He can multitask, so we'll see if he has a few minutes to talk with us, Todd.
I agree with you. That's all I'm going to say. He's a Hall of Famer. How well he multitasks, I'm not sure about that. But I think we'll get him. I know you probably hadn't talked about the transfer portal yet. Sorry, I missed.
No, I was going to get to it. I was just letting our listeners want to know where Glenn is.
Sure.
They need that right off the bat.
Okay.
More so on whether Sam Leavitt is going to be the quarterback next year for LSU.
I don't know about that. You live in a weird world, man.
But we are going to certainly talk transfer portal. Basketball will be a big part of our discussion today. Even though the men are playing, we're going to have Reed Darcy will join us from the Advocate, covers the LSU women's basketball team. That's off to a tough start in SEC play. We'll hear from Blake Lovell from Southeastern Conference 16 to talk about the SEC and men's hoops. And then second hour, a lot more football. Michelle Gardner, who covers Arizona State for the Arizona Republic, will join us. We'll hear from Brandon Marcello from 247 Sports to talk about he's covering the big game, the Fiesta Bowl, one of the two semifinal games between Ole Miss and Miami. He's out there in, I guess it would be Phoenix, somewhere around there. Or Glendale, I guess it would be. So we'll get his thoughts on this whole situation here with LSU and Ole Miss. But, Todd, you brought up the transfer portal, and it's starting to hum here a little bit after a slow start. As we are doing this show, LSU is up to 8 commitments from players that are out of the transfer portal. And right now, a lot of it is focusing more on the offense, which basically needs to be completely rebuilt. Other than Tre'Dez Green and Harlan Berry coming back, there's not much else there as far as guys that are returning with experience.
You need quarterbacks to fill your quarterback room. You need running backs to fill your running back room. You need wide receivers to fill your wide receivers room, and you need offensive linemen to fill your offensive linemen room. So yeah, I think they'll end up probably signing about, I would say probably 30 to 32 in this portal.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe seven, eight of them will be defense. The rest of them will be on offense. Well, and they need a kicker now too. So
yes, it seems like they need that as well. But I have a feeling they kind of know what they're looking at with that.
I think they know
who they're special.
Yeah, I think they know what they're looking at across the board. I mean, that's an interesting point. But I mean, I really do. I think they know exactly who they're looking at across the board. And I think they've lost a couple that they wanted, which I'm sure we'll get into. But I think for the most part, and I think that's what's starting to come in right now, you're seeing players that they have evaluated, They have scouted, and they feel like they can develop. And I think that's going to be the key to this coaching staff.
Based on who they have now as we do this show, three wide receivers. It started with Jackson Harris out of Howard, and then they also got Trey Brown from Old Dominion. And then the latest was Jace Brown, a guy that's a veteran receiver from Kansas State. They've picked up a couple of running backs as well. Rod Gainey from Charlotte was one that they got on Tuesday. Racine Guillory was one that they picked up, I think that was Monday, from Utah. They got a tight end as well. They needed a backup for Tre'Davious Green, someone with a little bit of experience, and then got that in Malachi Thomas. I think they got one really significant piece on defense today. That's Ty Benefield from Boise State, and they also have a defensive lineman who, Andre, you're going to have to pronounce his first name for me again, from Clemson. Is it Stephlian?
Steph Island. Yeah, Steph Island.
Steph Island. Steph Island Green. Okay. So that's where they stand right now.
Yeah, and so
anything jump out at you with that, Todd?
Well, the latest one, obviously, Jace Brown has almost 2,000 yards career receiving and is the number 3 rated receiver in the portal. I think he's a huge get. He's one that I think is going to come right in. When you look at Harrison Brown, the other two wide receivers, I think the common denominator that those two guys have are they're physical receivers. One played at Hawaii, and Brown played at
Old Dominion.
So you would take a look at that and say, oh, well, that's not that good. And here we go. This is Lane Kiffin and staff evaluating, you know, lower level ranked portal players and seeing how they fit. Both of these guys have over 20 catches last season for more than 20 yards and significant deep threats. Both have speed, and like I said earlier, both are physical. They may not be starters, but they're going to fit into that LSU offense. Speaking of Ole Miss being in the Fiesta Bowl, should we just call them the Ole Miss Tigers?
No, I wouldn't go that far, because all the guys that I think LSU was looking to poach from them are staying there. Now, I think there's going to be a couple of Ole Miss receivers that still end up on LSU's roster.
But I was talking about the coaches. I mean, at least half the coaches.
But there's as far as we know, there's only two guys left.
Two guys left where?
As far as two guys that are still from LSU that are hired, employed by LSU that are still coaching at Ole Miss.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of that, because I was told that 7 of them were at practice on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. All right.
On Sunday, rather. Sorry, I don't know what day it is. By the way, I'm changing my name to Tommy Norris. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Tommy Norris, but he's the star character on Landman, which is awesome, by the way. If you guys aren't watching Landman or have seen Landman on Paramount, and it's also on Prime Video, that's what was Angela Jolie's husband's name? Bobby or whatever. I can't think of his name.
I don't know. You're losing me there.
This is my point. That's why I'm Tommy Norris. I'm so busy right now. Things are happening so fast that, I mean, I don't even know what's happening in the moment right now. I mean,
Todd, I definitely wouldn't have known. I was just going to say that now.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Well, that didn't surprise me that you wouldn't have known it.
Well, I think a lot of people.
But it's
are wondering,
recent; it's not old. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, let's get back on track here, because the Lane train's being diverted here with what you're talking about on some whatever.
Well, my point is it's a rapid, ferocious pace. It started out slow, we had 4 today and 4 yesterday. So, and there's supposed to be a big, huge one tonight.
Big, huge one tonight. So, I'm really hoping Sam Levitt announces, but it might not be until tomorrow.
But it might be tonight. So
it might be tonight too. We'll see. But apparently, this visit that started on Monday in Baton Rouge, and again, we're doing the show here on Tuesday night for those that are listening on a podcast or on YouTube. And again, you can hear the show anywhere where you get your podcast. And for those listening at Talk 107.3, of course, tonight will be preempted by the Kim Mulkey Show at 7. But you can check us out at TigerRag.com or catch us down the road, again, anywhere where you get a podcast or a YouTube. Sam Levitt arrives in camp in Baton Rouge on Monday, and based on what we're hearing, it has been a very good visit. And it seems like if they don't get him, it would be a huge disappointment. But based on what we're hearing and you're seeing, it doesn't seem like he is going to go visit anywhere else. He's visited Kentucky. There had been talks that maybe Miami would be interested in the former Arizona State quarterback, but it really seems like Sam Leavitt is the guy to run Lane Kiffin's offense next season.
Yeah, he was originally just supposed to be here through today. He was supposed to be gone. He was supposed to be back, headed back to Arizona, and he has extended his stay another day. And there are,
it's crazy.
There are more recruits.
3 days.
There are more recruits.
Or he'll be here 3 days.
Yeah, and there are more recruits coming in to meet with him as well, from what I understand. And the only other school or team in reportedly potentially in contention for him, because he has such a high dollar NIL get, would be Miami. And like you know, like you said, it's I think LSU's goal is to get him signed before he gets on that plane. So
yeah, but the fact that he's been here Monday and may stay till Wednesday is a very, very good sign.
Oh, it's
and
no may. He's staying. It's a done deal. And he's staying tonight.
Well, yeah. Now it's to get the done deal for him to actually sign with LSU, and the money we're talking about here,
yeah,
Todd,
that's exactly what I was going to say, Jeff. Now is where they get the money. This is where they talk money.
$4 to $5 million we're looking at, and the advantage with him, if you want to call it a bit of an advantage, he does have 2 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, he also has a Liz Frank injury,
right?
That means he won't be available until practice until probably August. And that, you know, that might be a little bit of negotiating power for LSU, but I don't think they care about that. They were paying Garrett Nussmeier almost $4 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, they might as well pay, you know, that much. They certainly, they have the money. They have the money.
Yeah, they have the money. There's no doubt about that. So you mentioned, I think you put out the 30 to 32 players we're potentially looking at.
That's
somewhere around
that's
there.
Me. That's me just looking
and
at
I,
things.
Well, and what, 26 from last year's roster have entered the transfer portal, I think, is
see,
what I saw.
I saw 25. I don't know. If we're up to 26,
yeah,
I hadn't seen
okay.
that one. But that's it, okay.
What? Yeah, two dozen guys. Two dozen guys, plus the guys that are leaving to, you know, for the NFL. I mean, how easy is this going to be for Lane next season, you think? I mean, this, to me, if you're established as a head coach somewhere, like he was obviously at Ole Miss, and you welcome 30 players into your program, that's one thing. But when it's been a complete, well, I shouldn't say complete, because there's a lot of coaches from the defensive side that are still, that have made the transition from Brian Kelly to Lane Kiffin. But when you're looking at such a huge overhaul of the program, I mean, what can we honestly, and I know we don't know all the players yet, Todd, but as we're looking at it right now, the very preliminary, the rough draft plans of what this team will look like next season, I mean, what can we honestly expect from them?
Well, I'm in a different camp, Jeff. I think that Lane Kiffin did this, they did it on their own. They invited all those people to leave. They didn't want them. So they've got their board evaluated. They're bringing people in. I think that I'm not saying they're going to win a national championship this year, but I think they'll have a real rebuilt offense. They'll be able to run the football. They'll be exciting on offense, and they're going to have a steady defense if they continue to make progress under Blake Baker. And I think they're fortifying and filling holes on that defense right now.
They still have yet to get any commitments from offensive linemen. I think that'll be very interesting to see what happens there. Let's take our first break. More coming up from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Might hear from Tiger Rag editor Glenn Kilbo when we come back. LSU men's basketball off to a rough start against South Carolina. We'll be back after this.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here inside the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. And joining us from the Merivit Center, it is Tiger Rag editor Glenn Gilbo. LSU basketball dropped its SEC opener against Texas A&M. Got some bad news the night before or the day before, where DJ Thomas, their best player, their point guard, who's been playing very well, he re-aggravates a lower leg injury, did not play against the Aggies. The Tigers were right there, had a chance to win, couldn't get it done. It was a game that you look back at and say, man, if DJ Thomas played in that game, there's a good chance they would have won. That would have been a great way to start this thing off for Coach Matt McMahon's squad as far as SEC play. Well, you're hoping maybe when they get back inside the Merivit Center and they take on South Carolina, they got the home crowd, maybe they can get off to a good start. But they've gotten off to a rough start here. As we're doing this interview with Glenn, the Tigers are down by 18 with 11:44 to go. But yeah, not the start to SEC play that Matt McMahon was looking for, right, Glenn?
No, it was amazing. They fell behind 21-5, and South Carolina had not missed a shot. They were shooting 100%, and LSU was shooting 17% at that point. They just couldn't score, and now it's 28-10. But man, I just did not see that coming. South Carolina is not a great team, and LSU just couldn't buy a bucket there early on, and they didn't play any good defense. So, but I've never seen a team like that make their first, you know, I think it was like maybe 11 shots they made right off the bat.
And they were 6-for-6 for 3-point field goals, and they only shot 25% from 3-point range in their last two games combined. So what is it about LSU that brings out the best in three-point shooting for the other team?
They're not the greatest guarding team, that's for sure. They're like in the hundreds in scoring defense.
Yeah, and they're getting beat all across the board, too. They're getting beat points in the paint, fast break points, turnovers, getting out rebounded. It doesn't look too good from here.
Not here either.
You know, I'm sorry, Jeff, but this is really an important game for them, because if they want to make a run for the NCAA tournament, this realistically could be their only real chance for a win before the end of the month, because they have Vanderbilt on the road next. Vanderbilt's the best team in the SEC right now. They have Kentucky in Baton Rouge, but Kentucky's extremely talented, even though they haven't been playing well. Missouri, then defending champion Florida at Florida, and then Arkansas, who's one of the best teams in the country this year.
Yeah, they needed to be 2-0 when you were looking at the schedule before the season, and you thought they had a really good chance of doing that. But unless they have a tremendous comeback, they're going to be 0-2, and they're going to be looking at 0-5, you know, and then we're back to last year again. So suddenly everything has just gone south, particularly with the injury to DJ.
Not only that, but tonight is very big for their net, because South Carolina is ranked 106 in the net. So losing that game is not a good look at all.
Yeah, so this is one of those SEC quad two games, right?
Yep, for now, right, as of right now.
Well, what is
so this
it?
Is What's a must this? Win. They're on the bubble, Jeff. This is a must win. If they lose, the season's over.
No. I'm not going to say that, but obviously you're missing your point guard, and when you miss your point guard, he was certainly the guy that makes it go. But and then the supporting cast around him is, how would you describe it, Glenn? I mean, would you say they're okay or better than okay? And I also think losing a guy like Jalen Reed, I thought that was that's a big loss too for this team.
Yeah, well, Mike Nokwo and Sutton have really been playing well. Sutton didn't play well against Texas A&M. You know, they were clearly better than they were last year, I thought. But, you know, that was only meaning that would be a team that was close to 500 in the SEC, like maybe 7 or 8 wins in the league. But now, you know, it's not looking like that.
What's the deal with DJ? Do we know, Glenn? I mean, what concerns me is it appears to be an old injury that's flared up or re-aggravated.
Yeah, that's what Matt said last night on his radio show, that he aggravated an old injury. He assured me it wasn't a season-ending injury or it was going to be an injury for a long time, but he was doubtful that he'd be ready for Vanderbilt on Saturday. So hopefully after that game, you know, a week or so, he'll be ready. But Matt's been pretty close-lipped about what exactly the injury is.
Well, what do you think they can they turn it around tonight, or is it already a lost cause with about 9 minutes to play in the first half?
I think they might make it a game. I'd be surprised if they pulled it out, but I think they might get close.
Yeah. Well, disappointing start, because I think you were hoping, you know, especially when they beat SMU in the Smoothie King Center, you said, okay, you know, in the Boston College, I know Boston College isn't great, but they faced some adversity in that game and they figured out a way to win it in overtime. But so you were hoping there was a glimmer of hope. And when you got that DJ Thomas news on Friday, the night before the SEC opener, you're just like, man. Yeah, Coach McMahon just it can't catch a break. Can't catch a break. All right, Glenn, we'll let you go.
Luck. Really bad. Yep. Luck. All right, thanks.
All right, we'll be back. We'll talk about another 0-2 team in the SEC. And that's the Lady Tigers. We'll get to that when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me, home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
We're back here on Tiger Rag Radio. LSU men down by 25. LSU women's basketball 0-2 in SEC play for the first time since Kim Mulkey has been the head coach for LSU. A couple of tough losses, one at home basically at the buzzer to Kentucky, one on the road against Vanderbilt. In both games, LSU led by 7 points in the fourth quarter, and after both games, Coach Kim Mulkey said her team or question her toughness or said her team wasn't tough enough. We bring in Reed Darcy, who covers the LSU women's basketball team for The Advocate. And Reed, thanks a lot for joining us once again here on the show. If I recall correctly, weren't there times last year when she questioned her team's toughness as well?
I'm not sure. I'd have to think back to some of the situations they got themselves in last year before I said so. I think last year their toughness was really Anissa Morrow. She was one of the toughest players in the country. She is one of the toughest players, I suppose, in the history of women's college basketball when you look at what she did. At her size, still being one of the three or four best rebounders of all time, I think she set the tone with toughness in these two games and shown that they really miss her presence around the rim. They really miss her presence on the boards. And so maybe that's a little bit of where Kim Mulkey is coming there with the toughness, because they don't have an Anissa Morrow or an Angel Reese, for that matter, to set that tone for them.
Yeah. Say, yeah, Angel Reese was such a set such a great attitude for this team, such a great tone for this team. That was one of the things that I think people, you know, a lot of people want to make jokes about how she misses a lot of shots and this and that and grabs her own rebounds and stats, it stuffs her own stats. But there was a bit of obviously she had a little bit of a sass on the court, and then she also had she was a intense player out there. And I think that really since she's been gone, and now you mentioned Anissa Morrow, they're really lacking that.
Yeah, I think it's just the rebounding especially is where that shows up. LSU is really struggling to rebound the ball, and that's something that's different from anything we've seen before in the Kim Mulkey era at LSU. They've always been one of the best rebounding teams in the country. And if you look at that game against Kentucky, it was one of their worst rebounding games in the last 5 years. They gave up 17 offensive rebounds. They only got four themselves. They lost the rebounding battle by 16 boards, and they gave up 18 second chance points to Kentucky. And in a one possession game like that, you know, that makes a huge difference. So LSU isn't really winning the possessions. I think the rebounding improved a little bit at Vanderbilt, but if you look in the fourth quarter, they still couldn't really get the rebounds that they needed to get. They gave up five offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter alone, and that led to eight Vanderbilt points. Two of those were off missed free throws, and that's kind of become a problem in these first two games. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, LSU, there's been five instances where LSU has failed to grab the rebound off a missed free throw, and that's pretty glaring. It shows that some of their post players are, I guess, having some trouble adjusting from the mid-major opponents they're playing in the non-conference to these first two SEC teams.
Hey, Reed, one of the things that jumps out at me when you look at the first two SEC games, obviously you talked about the rebounding deficit against Kentucky. They corrected that, like you said, against Vanderbilt, and then they, you know, turned the ball over 22 times, and a lot of those were unforced errors in terms of the turnovers. But the thing that stands out to me is through two SEC games, they have two players scoring in double figures, and one of them is not named Flauje Johnson or Malaysia Fulwalee.
Yeah, I'd say that's kind of at the top of the list. They have not gotten nearly enough production from Flauje. They really need more from her. It's no secret there. She only had one rebound, I believe, against Kentucky. That's really uncharacteristic of her. She's in her career, she's been a really good rebounding guard for LSU in the first 3 years of her career. And then Fulwalee, I think she made some plays against Vanderbilt, but she still had five turnovers. And I think there are times where she has kind of struggled to run the offense. She's kind of struggled away from the ball on defense. And the thing that I think is behind some of her struggles, I think it ties back to the rebounding. You know, Fulwalee is a player who thrives in transition. That's when she's at her best. That's where she does most of her work on offense. And LSU has had fewer transition opportunities than it usually gets because it's not cleaning up possessions on the defensive end of the floor. It's not getting rebounds. It can't run. So all these issues are kind of intertwined to an extent, but at or near the top of the list is Flauje Johnson and kind of her rough start to SEC play. They really need to get her going, and they really need to for her to be an engine of the offense, because it looks like they're going to need quite a bit from those two stars, from those three stars, maybe more so than they've needed even in the past.
Well, and if you thought it was tough those first two games, it's about to get tougher.
Yes. So they go on the road to play Georgia on Thursday. Georgia is not ranked, but they went through the non-conference undefeated with a pretty soft schedule. They haven't played anybody, and I think they've picked up a loss in SEC play. That is not going to be a easy game by any means. Georgia's a good team. They've got three players, I think, scoring in double figures. And then it gets really, really hard. Two top five games after that. LSU is playing number two Texas in the PMAC on Sunday. Texas is already beat South Carolina this year. They've had a really difficult schedule, and they've looked really, really impressive with it. And then after that, they've got Oklahoma, which is now number 5 in the polls, to take a week off, and that's on the road. They play Oklahoma then. So if things don't start to improve, if they don't make some adjustments off these first two games, like against Kentucky and Vanderbilt, if they play like they did in those two games in these next three, then you could really be looking at a 1-4 start or even an 0-5 start. I think that's on the table now, which is pretty shocking considering where they were in the non-conference just 2 weeks ago and considering where Kim Mulkey's teams usually are at this point of the season.
And I know Kim is really sort of tongue-in-cheek with a lot of her comments. I mean, she pretends to be blunt sometimes, but what do you think she's really concerned about this team right now?
Yeah, I do. I think what she said about the toughness part of it, I think, was kind of her way of saying that she is a little bit concerned of whether they can fix it. You know, she's one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. I think she deserves the benefit of the doubt. She probably thinks that she can fix it and knows that she can fix it based on her track record. But what she said about toughness is that, hey, toughness, you either have it or you don't, and LSU does not have it. You know, in her eyes, that was after the Vanderbilt game. So can they instill that toughness in them? Can they turn them into a good rebounding team? I still think, me personally, that there is a good rebounding team inside of this team. We just haven't seen it yet, and it's on Kim Mulkey and her coaches, I think, to bring that out of them. That's priority number one moving forward.
Reed, real quick, if they start out 0-5 or 1-4, can they rebound from that?
It's going to be tough. You're not going to have to run the table, but I think you're going to have to come close to it to preserve that top four tournament seed. After that, you're probably looking at a much lower seed in the tournament.
That would be unfathomable to think that this team doesn't host the first and the second round of the NCAA tournament like they've been able to do every year Kim Mulkey has been there. Reed, thanks a lot for your time, man. We appreciate it.
Yep, thank you all. Y'all have a good one.
Reed Darcy of The Advocate, Blake Lovell of Southeastern 16. When we come back from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, this is Tiger Rag Radio.
Let's go!
Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
We're back on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. This is Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with Tiger Rag Editor Glenn Gilbo. Joining us, Blake Lovell from Southeastern 16. He's the host of that great podcast where you can find out anything you want to know when it comes to Southeastern Conference basketball, football, baseball, all that kind of stuff. They break it down with several different podcasts. And Blake is our SEC basketball expert. And last year, Blake, it was maybe the best ever when it comes to men's basketball in the SEC. How do you compare it? How do you compare this year to last year?
Probably not a surprise to see the league take a step back. I think it was inevitable. 14 teams get in last year. And I kind of said this summer, I thought 10 was probably the magic number, most likely just because, 26 of your top 30 scorers in the league exited. And I think anytime you have that, and I know that's the case pretty much everywhere now with transfers and such, but it was kind of a different feel with the top teams last year. Whereas this year, we've kind of seen that pretty much all these top teams, there is something you can sort of pick on them about when it comes to potential things that could hold them back. And I think that just has kind of been the story. I think you've got, kind of a very crowded group in the middle and even towards the bottom. Like right now, how much separates a South Carolina from even, a team like Texas or, Mississippi State, teams like that? I don't know if there's a lot that necessarily separates them. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of SEC teams that kind of beat up on each other a little bit. And maybe that's what winds up being the thing that holds the league back a little bit in terms of tournament teams.
Well, Blake, what did you think of LSU going into the SEC before Dedan Thomas Jr. got hurt? He's not playing for the second time tonight against South Carolina. He has a chance to play over the weekend. And how do you see them without him?
Yeah, I mean, it's different when you, I think, start playing, obviously, a team like they're going to play on Saturday, and that's Vanderbilt. I think tonight against South Carolina, I feel like it's sort of a situation where, you've got a team like them who is probably missing a player in terms of, like, what South Carolina can bring offensively. And that may still be okay for LSU you know, to win a game without Thomas like that. But it's where you start to get into the schedule beyond this, which, you know, their next five games after South Carolina are going to all be against teams that, you know, are probably going to present some challenges offensively when it comes to going up against this LSU team on the defensive side. And I think overall, though, I mean, if you're looking at the full body of work for LSU to this point, I said coming out of Saturday at A&M, I don't really think there's any shame in losing at A&M by 3 points and kind of holding a team that had been scoring so many points the way that A&M has and will continue to do under Bucky McMillan, you know, to 75 without, you know, a guy that's been such a key part of this in Thomas. And so I feel like from that standpoint, once he's back, once he's good to go, I still think LSU is an NCAA tournament team. I feel like it's kind of fitting for me on Saturday. I think LSU and A&M are kind of the two teams that, you know, may maneuver their way the most in terms of either good or bad and getting to the NCAA tournament. But I think so far, having the win over SMU, the Texas Tech game did not go the way they wanted. But if you're looking at it in terms of body of work to this point, I feel much better about LSU than maybe even what we've seen from a team like, you know, Kentucky that feels a lot more inconsistent in those things right now. So I think LSU's in a good spot, but they've got to figure out a way to navigate this upcoming schedule, which does start to get a bit tough here over the next several weeks.
Talking to Blake Lovell of SEC 16 podcast here on Tiger Egg Radio, who would you say are the top two or three new portal players into the conference this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now when you're looking at it just from guys that have maybe made the biggest impact for their specific teams, I think if you, you know, kind of go to Vanderbilt at the start, you know, with Duke Miles, who was at Oklahoma, and I think has certainly been a guy that has allowed them to be where they are heading into this very highly anticipated top 15 showdown against Alabama on Wednesday night. You know, Duke Miles and Tyler Tanner, that combination at guard has just been fantastic. And he would be, you know, a first team all SEC type contender. Same would be the case for Jacoby Gillespie at Tennessee. You know, this is a Tennessee team that's going to, unfortunately for Tennessee fans, be very frustrating to watch offensively at times. Not as used to that in recent years, you know, with Dalton Connect and Chaz Lanier, you know, the past couple for the Vols, but this is just a different team. But yet Jacoby Gillespie still, you know, probably one of the best players in the SEC. And I think that he's going to be either the reason why they make a spectacular run in March, or if he has a bad shooting game, you know, they may come out and sputter in the first or second round. And I don't know that there's much of a, you know, big gap there for Tennessee. That they're going to have to figure out some things offensively, but he's been great. And then maybe the one that maybe not be getting talked about enough, and it's probably just because Auburn's been such a mixed bag, especially on the defensive end, but, you know, Keyshawn Hall from UCF, he was the Big 12's leading scorer last year. He's been really good this year. His defense could certainly be better. That's the same for Auburn as a whole. But offensively, he keeps finding ways to make a huge impact. So I think those are probably your top three guys right now. But, man, there's a lot of them, as we know, in the SEC these days, guys.
And if you had to pick one team, who do you think is going to finish the strongest in the league?
Yeah, and so I've kind of kept my same opinion on this since probably game 4 or 5, and this was even after they had lost a couple games early. I still think the team with the highest upside is Alabama, and I say that with a little bit of hesitation only because Alabama, I don't think, has still played a game this season with their full rotation, you know, slash roster of guys that we expect to play, and I honestly think that may be the case again on Wednesday against Vanderbilt. You know, their big guy, Aiden Sherrill, currently a game-time decision. I don't know if he's going to play. If he doesn't play, that maybe, you know, swing things in Vanderbilt's favor a bit. But I think Alabama offensively, when you look at the way they play, I just don't know how many teams out there, if it's even a handful, are going to be able in that kind of setting as we get further into the season, and they do get their guys available. That is the big key here. But if we say guys are going to be back, they get there fully healthy, or maybe only down a player at this point, that may be the best you can ask for Alabama. I think they have the highest upside because I've heard many times throughout the years that Alabama doesn't play defense, and they completely squashed that opinion a couple of years ago when it came to a team that still managed to get to the Final Four being a basically sub-100 defensive team. They do things offensively that teams just cannot defend when they get going. And I think that's going to be the key for them. So I'd still say Alabama's got the highest upside. But maybe we'll find out just in terms of their roster availability. That may be more important than anything.
Alabama's more of a basketball school than a football school, maybe. We'll see. It's crazy.
It could be the case, guys, in terms of fan support right now. So.
Blake, we'll have to get you back on here again soon. We'll talk a little bit more as the season develops. But it should be interesting, and hopefully LSU is in that picture when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Thanks again, Blake, for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks as always, guys.
All right, that's Blake Lovell from Southeastern 16. Check out their stuff. A lot of podcasts, a lot of great SEC information there. We'll take a break. More coming up from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Only a couple more minutes left to go in this hour. And again, for our listeners at Tonk 107.3, you can check us out for hour number two on TigerRag.com or after the show. You'll be able to find a replay of the show on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcast. Also at TigerRag.com, they get uploaded there tomorrow. But Todd, since we'll be talking a lot of football in hour two, just want to get your take. Where do you see the state of men's and women's basketball here before we get out of here on this hour?
I think the women's basketball team can turn it around. I don't know that they will. I think if they do drop to 0-5 or even 1-4, as Reed said, it's going to be a steep hill to climb to get into the postseason at the level, you know, in the seed that they would like to get into.
Top four seed, yeah, you're talking about, yeah, to host the first and second round.
Yeah, because the SEC is really good this year. And even though they're hitting the cream of the crop this in the next couple of weeks, it's still going to be tough all season. So they have a lot to work on, man. They're very talented, but they're very not good right now. As far as the men's team goes, what's happening right now on the court is could be a death blow, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's the end of the road because they certainly can pull some upsets, but this is unbelievable that they're down by 25 points at halftime to a very bad team.
Mm. I just saw there's 38 days until the season opener for baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, I really – yeah, I watched the game on Saturday, and as I said at the top of the show, man, they were so close from winning that game. You know, a couple bounces here or there, like it is in a lot of basketball games and in conference play.
Well, I actually think they should have won that game if they wouldn't have turned the ball over three straight times in the last minute.
Couple questionable calls on screens and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that didn't help either. But then to see what they did tonight, at least through the first 20 minutes of this thing, it's just like, oh my god, are we heading for another 4-5-13 SEC season? Well, so we got to go through this again.
I think a lot of it's going to ride on with DJ can come back, if they can turn it around at all in the second half and at least make it close. Because if they keep getting killed like they're getting killed here at halftime, and like they were in the first half, it's going to be hard to overcome that mentally and emotionally.
All right, and then we'll see how Kim Mulkey can turn them around. I think she's trying to motivate her team by telling them that they're not tough, but they didn't respond after the first one.
I'm worried about Flauge.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
They said she could be battling an ankle injury, but I don't think it's as serious as, you know. Yeah, it's definitely not stopping her from being somewhat
productive. There's a lot more that I think could be said on this about them. We're running up against the clock, but
no points. No points last game.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Michelle Gardner from the Arizona Republic. We're going to talk Sam Levitt and more here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.